Now we take you to the Urban Ecology Center in Washington Park to meet a local force for environmental health and justice. Meet Milwaukee native Davida Flowers Shanklin. She brings unique experience to the discussion. Flowers Shanklin ushers me into the UEC's Bird Room. It's brimming over with books, many first editions, that a famous ornithologist donated to the center. But don't ask Flowers Shanklin about birds. Her thing is nature in general and environmental justice.
I know. I remember being in high school and being really into like science and biology. I was the co-director of Camp Everytown, which is a diversity camp for teenagers, and it's now housed through the YW, so it's just for girls. But when I was a director as a teenager, it was for all genders. So my work was mostly, like, even as a high schooler, was around, you know, anti-oppression, and I was with the ACLU and like that kind of stuff. But I also knew that I loved science and being outside and going to camp and nature, that like it seemed silly to try and like not do them together or to just like ignore the nature part of it. So I had to figure out something that I could do that was both nature and engaging people in like these kinds of issues.
Flowers Shanklin immersed herself in biology and environmental studies at McAllister College. Next, she dove into ecological restoration and wrote her master's thesis on environmental justice at the University of Oregon. Today, she juggles two jobs at UEC's Washington Park site as an educator and volunteer coordinator. It just so happens, growing up, this was Flowers Shanklin's neighborhood park, so
it always made sense to me that people and the environment were connected, that, like, whenever you would learn about nature as something over there and not what was here in our city, just, like, baffled me, because I went to a Montessori school, and we would go to the parks in our neighborhoods all the time, and we would, you know, we would learn about the nature that was just in our backyard, so it seemed silly to me that we'd have to go to like a national park to experience the environment, or, you know, that air quality or water quality in the city wasn't as important as like the free-flowing rivers or something. So it just like never made sense in my brain. So when I went to school for environmental justice, like, it was like, well, duh, totally. Yes. Thank you. Tell me more, because I already like am 100% invested and like believe it.
From week to week, UEC shuttles neighborhood school kids to the center. They experience nature inside its walls and out. Washington Park covers nearly 135 acres and features a large lagoon and natural areas, including a prairie. Flowers Shanklin remembers her early days on the team and kids' reactions.
When I started, we had a new group of kids start coming to the center. One of my like earliest memories with them is taking them through the park, and when we say park, they think playground. So we'd say we're going to the park, and they're like, yes, we're gonna swing, and we're like, nope, we're gonna go play outside on the grass, go to the prairie, and they're like, what, that's not the park? And we're like, no, it is. So like trying just to separate playground from park so that they get that. And then also like learning them that there are different places that are safe, even if it doesn't look safe. So like to them, the prairie looks like a scary place because it's tall weeds, in their minds, in quotes, weeds. And, you know, it looks like a place that people don't take care of and someone could be hiding in there. And so they didn't want to go because someone would jump out or it's dirty. And so just trying to get them to like see that the prairie is actually like full of life, and it's tall grass because of different reasons and like different flowers, and just to get them past the hundreds of jumping grasshoppers that was like freaking them out. We had a girl that cried every time a grasshopper jumped, which you can't take like a step without three or four of them jumping everywhere at the height of summer. But just like those types of things to just be aware of, that like we think that this is like a natural, beautiful place, but to them, like, it reminds them of like vacant lots or a place that could be unsafe, and so, or that someone is hiding. It's really that they're scared of the dark and someone is hiding back there.
Flowers Shanklin looks for ways to make nature more inviting, not just for kids, but also adults.
I, as a volunteer coordinator, have to figure out, like, why aren't we getting the volunteers from this neighborhood in particular to come volunteer at this center? And I can't just assume, like, they don't care about volunteering. I have to think about, like, people's lives and, like, their commitments and whether or not the opportunities that we're offering are within their scope of something that they can do, or if, like, just working and being able to put food on the table or hang out with your kids is like enough and there's not any more room for volunteering and that being okay. But like, I have to like understand the community that I'm in before I can just be like, why aren't you coming and helping out? You must not care. Because that's totally not the case. Because half the time, when we ask people outside if they want to help, if they're not like on their way somewhere, they'll do it. You know, they're like, oh yeah, wow, you actually stopped and asked me? Sure. I will totally like help plant these plants with you or pick up trash or whatever it is. And I think that that's like super, super cool.
You've probably gathered by now Flowers Shanklin is a glass half full, maybe even three quarters full kind of person. But here's another contributor to her resilience and dedication to environmental justice. Flowers Shanklin's dad is white and her mom, who is black, specializes in diversity training.
Seeing as my mom is a diversity trainer and, you know, chose to keep me in MPS and we lived here in the city, we just talked about it all the time. Like, we knew, I knew the history of, like, the segregation marches across, like, the bridges with Father Grappi because that was her priest when she was little and things like that that I just kind of already knew about.
Flowers Shanklin says with her fair skin and kinky hair, her 29 years have been filled with people asking her, what are you? Could all of that have contributed to her career path and passion for environmental justice?
Having to navigate two very different worlds and never quite feeling like I fit into either, fit in totally with black community or totally with the white community, really like left me like the same with like nature and the city and like people and the environment, like being two very separate things. Well, like I'm a product of two very different experiences, right? And so, and I exist and I like navigate this world and I'm like doing really great. So it seems to me that maybe my like understanding that those things don't have to be separate is because like I don't have to be two different people. I can be like a mixed girl and fit completely just as I am, and that nature here in the city and racism can go hand in hand and they're not completely like separate things just because like my world, like the two things don't have to be like mutually exclusive. Maybe that is, I've never thought about it that way, but like sounds good.
Now there's your PhD.
Yeah, there now it is, you know, like it sounds like it could work.
You grew up talking about issues as a young kid with your parents, and now you've accumulated experience and education.
Right.
Coming back then to Milwaukee and working, and having the commitment that you've do to community and to nature, right? Mm-hmm. What troubles you most about our city, and what encourages you most?
I think it's just that there are still people who live here that don't know or notice that we live in a hyper-segregated city and that, like, racism is running rampant and that, like, there are human beings that are, like, policymakers or, like, teachers or that have big influence that, like, refuse to see these struggles and even within their classrooms or with the people that they work with. And, I mean, a lot of it, you know, can come from privilege, but it can also come from people just, like, not wanting to deal with it because they're, like, actually being like pounded by like with racism, you know, so they just don't even want to like think about it. They're just trying to live.
And it's so ingrained in them, you're saying?
Ingrained in them, yeah. So it's on both sides, right? That like people in privilege can choose to not recognize it, and then people who are being like pummeled like just need to live, you know. But like so that I think is like the thing that troubles me the most is that, like I said before, like just like facing it or like I don't know. It just baffles me that I can be in a room with people and that they have no idea about the history of our city or redlining or all of those racist policies that we had and have, you know. So, and then I think what fuels me is knowing that there are these pockets of really great people that are doing really great work, like place-based work. So like Alice's Garden, Fondy Food Mart, Groundwork, Urban College, like all these places that are just doing really great, Running Rebels, I just can keep going, you know, that are just doing really great work with the people that, you know, that their community that they serve and that they're engaging these young people. And it just is really hopeful to see that they're doing like all this really like magical stuff and getting people outside or getting people connected with each other. And even though that there's like all this stuff happening in our city, I think that's really, really cool. And I just love, like, hearing about it.
For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.